Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of the Growing Up Chaotic Show. I am your host, Dawn Clancy. Well, to start off, I guess I should say Happy New Year 2015. This is our first show in 2015, and it's an exciting one for sure. In today's episode, it's all about this exciting upcoming film called Stones, which is a true life story based on the experiences of singer-songwriter and recovering alcoholic Alexander McKay. So often when we talk about addiction and alcoholism and recovery, there's the sad side of it, right? There's people who relapse, there's overdoses, there's broken families. But what we like to do on the show is bring people on that talk about the other side of things, when there's a positive outcome, when we take these heart-wrenching experiences and turn them into something positive. Here with us to discuss the Stones film is writer, producer, and founding member of Don Roy Independent Films, Don McNabb Stark. As a full-time screenwriter, script doctor, and consultant, Don has written over 70 feature scripts, three of which were filmed in 2012, and they are called Rabid, Hope for Love, and Act Like You Like Me. This is a really, really exciting show. We're going to get into all the details, but if you go to the site, stonesmovie.com, you can listen to some of Alex's music, and I've been doing that all morning, and I was telling Don previously, or you know, just a few minutes ago, that I feel very relaxed and calm right now, thanks to Alex's music. So let's welcome Don to the show and get talking about the film. How are you, Don?
Hi, Dawn. Lovely to talk with you.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the script Stones. Why don't you give us, you know, a rundown of what this is all about?
Okay. The way this came about, there's a story within the story. My partner, Royden, and I had been discussing an idea, just sort of the germ of an idea of a story. Everything that we work on, we try to have some social message in it, something beyond just a story. For example, the other stories we're working on right now, one is about the lack of organ donors and the black market in organs in South Africa. Another one is about domestic abuse. So we had this story about an alcoholic musician that was actually inspired by a friend who had terrible addiction problems. And Royden went to a wedding, and he saw Alex play there. And he'd known Alex previously from working in advertising, but didn't know that he played this kind of music, that he was a singer-songwriter. And he came back to me and he said, I've seen somebody who'd be brilliant for this idea that we've got. So we worked the idea up into something a little bit more and invited Alex to come over for dinner, not knowing about his background, not knowing about his addiction. Invited him over for dinner. Royden opened the fridge. There's some wine in there and some beer. Said, you know, what would you like to drink? And Alex would say, well, actually, I'd like an orange juice. And and when we showed him the story and talked through the story, he just sat there and stared at us. And he said, you've basically told my life story here. This is what I have been through. And that's where the story started, that we happened to come across somebody who had been on that journey, and Alex has been sober for 8 years now.
Now, you mentioned that Alex is in recovery. Could you tell us a little bit about Alex in the story, maybe just a little bit about what he went through or what it is that captured you about Alex?
Well, one thing you've already mentioned was as soon as we heard his music,
right.
Said, this guy is the real deal. We were both just very, very taken with his music. He's clearly very, very talented. And obviously he worked and continues to work in an industry that is sort of almost synonymous with hard drinking, and that had affected him, and that had taken over his life for a decade or more. but he had found a way to come out the other side of it. And we liked the fact that while we could bring in the true story, and we could show the negative sides of alcohol, that there was a redemptive side to it. Alex, as I said, has come out the other side of it. He's been sober for 8 years, and his career is moving forward better than ever.
Now, in the script, I read the script, and in it there is Jen, who is Alex's girlfriend, and I want to say choked. I didn't almost choke, but it was amazing how in the script she's the girlfriend, they live together, and she finds this bottle of gin, I believe it was, in one of the cupboards. She couldn't close the cupboard.
Yeah.
She opened it and looked in there. She finds this bottle of gin. She takes it out and she dumps it out, which is so typical of people who live with someone who's struggling with addiction. And
right.
I just love how you capture that, because I've done that myself. I grew up in addiction. Both my parents were alcoholics, and I can't tell you the number of times that I've done that.
Right.
How were you able to capture that you know, one little specific thing? Because I know that your partner, Royden, his father as well was an alcoholic, right? I mean, did he feed into the story
that
as well?
That story actually came directly from Royden. Once I had the basic story written, I went to both Alex and Royden and said, you know, I want true moments. Give me some true moments that you have experienced that we can put in the story, that people will see, you know, what alcoholism is like. So that's a classic one. Royden's father was a high-functioning alcoholic who eventually killed himself from drinking cough medicine.
Wow.
But that came directly from Royden. He said that when he was a kid, his father would just have these little bottles of stuff just all over the house, in the garage with the, you know, the pesticides in the cupboard hidden with the cleaning supplies, and just everywhere that there was little bottles of booze hidden. And his mother could just never find all of them. So there's little moments like that. Another one that's in there, I'm sure you'll recall it when I mention it, is when Alex goes outside with a black bin bag full of bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts dumping a couple in all the trash cans as he goes down the road. And again, that came directly from Alex, because he said I go outside and I'd have so many bottles. He said it was embarrassing. He said I didn't want them all outside my house, so I'd give a couple to all of the neighbors.
Yes, yes.
so that's another one. There's little moments like that. There's another one where Alex is in a bar, and as he walks along the bar, there's a drink sitting on the bar, and he just grabs it, throws it down, and puts the glass back, sort of in one motion. And he said that's something he used to do all the time. If people weren't looking, he'd just grab their drinks, throw them down, and move on. So those little moments came from Alex and Royden.
Yeah, and they're so real. Like I said, as soon as I read it, I was like, yes, I did that too. Another interesting part of the script is that Alex's father in the script shows up, and he's also struggling with addiction. And you mentioned earlier that in certain industries, such as the music industry, it's not unusual for, you know, to people to be in that environment and to be drinking heavily, and nobody really bats an eye. But then you also have this other point of it that I think the script really does a really great job of highlighting, is that, you know, addiction runs in the family. And for someone who's trying to, you know, clean up their life and approaching this idea of recovery and sobriety, if your father or someone else in your family isn't quite there yet, it can make it even more difficult. And that's kind of the feeling that I got from the script, is that not only is Alex struggling with, you know, the environment that he's in, but it's also present in his family.
Right. I wanted to present it both ways, because there obviously is that aspect, and that's a big issue for many people, that there is someone else in their life, someone else in their family. Obviously, addiction does run in families. There do seem to be genetic aspects to that. My background as a psychologist, I understand some of the aspects of that. But at the same time, we wanted to present the other side of it, which was that the girl that he meets, Rachel, is a recovering alcoholic. And I know one of the things that came out in conversations with Alex is that one of the things that they say at AA is don't associate with anyone else who's a recovering alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But we sort of wanted to present both sides of that, that you don't have to be, you don't have to be determined by that. You don't have to be determined by the industry you're in or the people that you meet or your family or whatever. That while those are factors, they are not all determining.
Right, and that's a really good point, because even in recovery, some people are really starch about this is how you recover and this is what you need to do. But really, it's not this one size fits all prescription to gain sobriety. It's really, in my opinion, it depends on the individual. And in this script, for example, Alex, as you mentioned, the character Rachel, you know, and he. She represents hope in the script, and she actually helps him to, you
Absolutely.
Know, discover and explore this track of recovery. Another really great theme that comes up in the script is the dangers that young people face with addiction, which thank you so much for highlighting that, because this is a topic that, in my opinion, I feel doesn't get a lot of attention. And then you have Alex, someone who is struggling in his 20s and 30s with addiction, also in this environment of music. It could be really difficult for a young person who's experimenting and has this, you know, blooming social life to get clean if they need it.
Absolutely. That was one of the issues we wanted to bring out, is that we didn't feel that there was enough discussion around young alcoholics. Certainly in the UK, there is a huge culture of binge drinking amongst young people. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, while the government sort of tut-tuts about it and so forth, it's sort of an accepted thing. You know, they're kids, they go out, they drink, so what, they get drunk. You know, we just felt that was something that needed to be highlighted, that these are young people with maybe successful careers or whatever, but the alcoholism is a huge issue amongst young people. It's not just sort of the old guy you see on the street.
Right, exactly. And it's a fine line to tread, I think, because, you know, young people, as I mentioned, they are experimenting. They have social lives. They're going to concerts. They're meeting new people. They're dating. And it's so difficult to tell whether or not, okay, this person needs help, they're taking it too far, or whether or not it's just a phase. And I think a lot of people just assume that if a young person does develop an addiction, they're just making bad decisions and they're bad people. But I don't think people realize how difficult it can be for a young person to recover, which is, you know, again, something you highlight in the script.
Right. It's not just something you're going to grow out of in a couple of years. You know?
Right, right. Exactly. Now, you mentioned that you're a former psychologist. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's my first degree was in psychology. That's my background.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, you've also mentioned before that you don't necessarily have like a direct experience with addiction, and you've learned a lot, it seems, through writing the script and speaking with Alex and your partner, Royden, you know, learning about the experiences that he has with his father. Did you have any ideas prior to working on this project that have now changed towards addiction or towards people that are struggling with addiction as a result of working on this project?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, personally, I don't drink. Not a sort of moral or anything like that. I think it's that I recognized when I was quite young that I actually have a potentially addictive personality, and I was able to direct that into exercise. I've always been fanatical about exercise, but I figured that was healthier than being fanatical about alcohol or drugs. I think the biggest eye-opener for me coming into this, one was in terms of young people that we discussed, how big an issue it is for young people. I did sort of a lot of research online, just sort of looking at the numbers, looking at the data, and it's frightening how many young people have addiction problems, have alcohol problems. And the other thing was those little details, the extent to which people go to hide from others and hide from themselves, that they have a problem. I mean, one of the starting points that Royden and I had when we were talking about this story is what is rock bottom? What is rock bottom for people? When and how do people finally recognize that they've reached the bottom and they need to do something? We were talking about a friend who, you know, had a terrible, terrible addiction problem and, you know, wound up on the street naked, being manhandled by four policemen at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you go, that's rock bottom. For him, it wasn't. So that was something that we wanted to deal with in the film as well. What is it that what represents rock bottom for Alex?
Right. Right, that's a really good point.
You have to get to that point before you can come up the other side.
Right, exactly. Now, oftentimes in movies, addiction is presented as something that's glamorous. There's this really wrong perception of what addiction really is. And with this project, you wanted to present it in a more natural light. Do you think, what are some of the things that you've done to do that? Like, for example, you even mentioned that you're working on a project now about domestic violence, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And I would love to talk to you about that as well. It sounds incredible. But often, too,
right,
with domestic violence, these movies that come out, I'm thinking of a movie that Jennifer Lopez was in. I forget the name of the film, which is really frustrating to me right now, but it just
right
was such a wrong interpretation of domestic violence. You know, her husband was, you know, abusing her, and then she goes and takes some self-defense courses, and she fights him off, and she wins. It doesn't happen that way. And it's the same thing with addiction.
No.
So, right, exactly. So what have you done, and what makes this film different in portraying addiction in a more realistic way?
I would say, and probably you'd have a better insight than me into this, but, you know, when you see, for example, alcohol in films, 9 times out of 10, it's presented as something glamorous, as something positive, as part of a, you know, a social event or whatever. And it's very, very rare to see alcohol presented in a negative light in a film. I mean, Leaving Las Vegas would be the obvious one, but there's very, very few. So we wanted to show a realistic portrayal of alcoholism, that it's, you know, alcohol isn't this wonderful salve. It's not this thing that is all positive. For many people, it starts off that way, starts off as something nice to do. You know, Alex said that. He said, you know, I had a great time for a while.
Right.
Until it got out of hand. And so what we're trying to show people is the social aspects of it. You know, Alex in the bar after playing a gig and he's having a drink, but that there can be a downside to that. So we sort of show the dirty side of it. We show him drunk and out of control. We show him getting thrown out by his girlfriend. We show him losing his job. We show him sleeping rough. I mean, obviously that's not going to be everybody's experience, but as your listeners know, people who have you know, fought with alcoholism, fought with addiction, there's a lot of downsides to it, and a lot of people have tremendously negative experiences, and we just wanted to show some of that. But then, as we said, also finish on a redemptive note.
Right, exactly. So what would you say, you know, besides painting this realistic picture, what do you want, you know, other people in recovery, or even, you know, someone who doesn't have that direct connection with addiction, to get out of this film? What are you hoping that people discover?
One of the things we talked with Alex, because obviously he has been going to Alcoholics Anonymous for over 8 years now. He has helped to set up a group for young alcoholics in Richmond, which is in London. And one of the things we talked about with Alex was the philosophy, and obviously AA is very, very successful and helps many, many people, but part of it is the concept of anonymity. And while for many, many, many people that's positive, we also felt, and Alex was keen to obviously be a part of this, that there's also some people need to hear positive stories too. That having positive role models, having people who are saying, I was alcoholic and it was really rough and it screwed up my life, but I've managed to deal with it. Hearing other people talk about it would be a very, very positive thing. And if it can spark a discussion around young alcoholics, if it can, if people can start to understand the dangers of that, but that there is, you know, that there is hope, there are ways of moving forwards, then we'll feel like we've achieved something.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more with the the conflict between anonymity and then at the same time not being able to hear those anonymous voices because of the anonymity, you know, but at the same time that's kind of what we need. We need to share those stories with each other so that, you know, we can see, oh, I've been through that too. And as you said, you know, someone like Alex, he's, you know, turned his life around with a lot of hard work, and it's just unfortunate that a lot of times it's kind of hidden, you know, behind anonymity. And of course there's the shame and there's guilt that's associated with it, but it's
right.
Just fantastic, like a film such as this. I agree with you, you know, to be able to spark that conversation is the most important thing, especially among young people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that you learn when you're writing stories is that you don't get the message across by beating people over the head. You get the message across by telling an entertaining story,
mm-hmm.
with the message woven in there, and then people will pick that up as they enjoy the story, and that's what we're hoping
right.
to do.
Right, exactly. So where is the film now? Where can the listeners get more information, and is there a release date, or where are you at right now?
So where we are right now is in pre-production. That means getting everything ready for production. So we are filming in London in March and April. We have our cast, we have our crew. We're just nailing down the last couple of locations. We are still raising money for the film. And that's our biggest push right now. So we'll actually be launching on Kickstarter in a week or so.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're trying to get some public support for the film. And, yeah, very, very exciting.
What is the – now, I mentioned in the beginning the actual site for the movie and to listen to Alex's music and to get a better idea of what Don Roy Independent Films is all about is stonesmovie.com. But for your Kickstarter site, if someone's interested in participating and helping, you know, raise funds for the project, where can they go for information about that?
We'll be live on Kickstarter in about a week or so. But we will have a link directly from the website, from stonesthemovie.com, that will take people to Kickstarter.
Okay, perfect. That sounds great.
And can also find out more on Facebook, Don Roy Independent Films on Facebook. All of
perfect.
Our updates will be on there.
Oh, perfect. So, and also another thing I wanted to mention is that on the Stones movie site, you have stills, you have pictures from the places that you're going to be filming in London, and they're the most gorgeous
yes.
pictures. I want to go to all those places.
You.
I want to go to all those places. I'm writing down. I think one of the spots was Poppy's Cafe. I'm like, oh,
right.
I want to go there. Oh, they're so lovely. And then even the music video, the one for the track, Alex's
mm-hmm.
track called Stones. Which, by the way, how did you come up with that name for the film? Did it come directly from that song, or what's the meaning behind that?
So without giving too much away,
right.
Alex had written the song Stones, and we felt that the lyrics of that had quite a powerful metaphor in terms of the story. And so we were kicking ideas around for the title of the film, and some people may be aware of a Virginia Woolf story called Stones in My Pocket, I think it's called,
mm-hmm.
In which someone attempts to commit suicide by filling their pockets with stones and drowning themselves. And when you see the film, you will see where that metaphor plays out in the story.
Wow. And what I was originally going to say before I got a little sidetracked is that the video... The video with the guitar floating on, like, the misty water, that's so incredible. I love that. That's so beautiful. These shots are just, like, I'm going to watch it again after we're done here because it's just so magical. And you know what other thing, too, that's interesting to me about Alex's music is that the titles of the tracks, there's a track called Winter, there's one called Chasing Fire, Moving On, and, of course, Stones. And these titles are very, I don't mean to say hard, but they kind of, they're solid. You know, they're really solid titles,
yeah.
But then you listen to the music and everything, as I mentioned in the beginning, is very, like, he has this really cool finger-picking style, and it's just, it's very tranquil and just very reflective and kind of like, you know, it just, it gets you right in the heart. And it's just interesting that difference between the title and the actual music. And I think it's, I don't know, maybe I'm just, I'm thinking too deeply this morning, but it's kind of, it kind of mirrors the complexity of addiction and, this desire to get sober and this, and coming out on the other side. I just think that's really beautiful as well. I am probably digging a little too deep there.
Well, the truth is that the songs, when you listen to the lyrics, are clearly very personal songs. So even though Alex isn't necessarily directly talking about addiction and recovery in his songs,
right.
He is certainly tapping into his own resources and his own experiences and his own mental state in those songs. There's definitely a depth to them.
Right, absolutely. It's very. This is really bad. I shouldn't say it, but it's like if you've ever been sick. I know my parents. I mean, they're alcoholics, but drinking a little bit of whiskey or something that'll warm your throat will make you feel better,
right.
And that's kind of what it felt like. Well, listening to his music, it's very warm and just like you said, it's very raw and that comes through, and it's just
right.
Nice
so
to listen to music.
Instead of having the drink, instead of having the whiskey,
right.
Listen to Alex's music. That would be the
yes.
recommendation.
Yes, absolutely. And also his music is the soundtrack to the film as well, right?
Yes, there'll be 10 songs woven throughout the film.
Wow. All right. Well, the music is beautiful. So, again, it's stonesmovie.com to get more information about the film and to listen to Alex's music and to see the really cool video with the guitar floating on the misty body of water. It's my favorite so far. But, Don, I just want to thank you for coming on and for sharing about this project and for really just, you know, being part of this movement of, you know, breaking through that anonymity and showing that someone who was really down and out with addiction can turn it around. And as I said before, you had mentioned you're also working on a piece about domestic abuse, domestic violence. I would love to learn more about
yeah.
that as well, because another, you know, domestic violence often goes hand in hand with addiction. So,
yeah.
again, another great topic.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Right.
It's been a pleasure talking
yeah.
about it. When you're passionate about something, it's always easy to talk about it.
No, absolutely. Isn't that the truth? And a lot of people, I find that, you know, we bring on the show have that passion and that comes through. And you know, to be putting together a project such as a film, you've really got to be passionate about that to see it through from beginning to end. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the finished product is. And I'm going to visit Poppy's Cafe. That's my first place. All right, Don, you have a great day. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Don. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, again, in order to get more information about the movie, stonesmovie.com, you can go to that site, and a link as well to the Kickstarter campaign that will be released soon will also be available on the stonesmovie.com site. Very exciting. And as I mentioned, there's videos up on that site as well, videos of Alex's music. You can listen to Alex's music, and you can also see some stills from where they're going to be shooting in London, and they're beautiful. And if you live in London, you need to go check them out. At least I'm going to go check them out because all the pictures are just amazing. Parts of London I didn't even know existed. Anyway, for more information on Growing Up Chaotic, you can visit the blog at growingupchaotic.com. And we can also connect on Facebook at facebook.com/growingupchaotic. And on Twitter at Growing Up Chaotic, but for Twitter, that is spelled GRWNGUPCHAOTIC. Thanks again for listening. Happy New Year. Happy 2015. And thanks to Don McNabb Stark of Don Roy Independent Films for making this show possible. Until next time.